Hello, my friend. How are you doing? I'm glad you joined us. Today, I would like to focus on the need for a spiritual revival in our lives. Or in other words, why do we need a spiritual revival in our lives? This would be a two-part series, and I hope you will tune in again next week to get the second part of it. Bishop Fulton Sheen once said this about the modern man. The modern man is so disassociated, so alienated from himself, that he sees himself less as a personality than as a battlefield, where a civil war rages between 1,001 conflicting loyalties. He may be listened to a radio that is tuned into several stations. Instead of getting one clearly, he receives only an annoying static. I'm going to share with you at least two reasons why we need a spiritual revival in our lives. One of the reasons why we need a revival is because our minds need a renewal. Again, one of the reasons why we need a revival is because our minds need a renewal. Most people find their minds so tense and anxious, they need something to calm down. As a psychologist, often I find clients who can benefit from relaxation therapy. After going through relaxation therapy, one of my clients stated, "My mind hasn't been relaxed like this for a long time." Because of this tension that people experience these days, they have difficulty sleeping. One youngster who hasn't slept well for a few weeks stated that he feels like his mind is blank. Anxiety-related emotional disorders are very common in our time. Many are panicking. Many are depending on anxiety-reducing drugs to calm down. In the book of Isaiah in the Bible, chapter 40 and from verse 28 through 31 we read, Have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Revival usually happens when people wait in the presence of God. In my lifetime, I have witnessed some revival times. In all of them, people were praying and waiting in the presence of God. When people see God with all of their strength, God visits them and strengthens them. That strengthening affects minds, body, and spirit. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, from verse 28, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me go back to the first part of these two verses. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens." The Lord is referring definitely to the weariness that we experience in our minds and the burdens that we carry in our heads. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Again, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." He's talking about transforming our minds or renewing our minds. In Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5, we read this: "The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." There the Bible talks about the inclination of our thoughts and how evil those are. Again, a big reason why we need a revival to renew our minds. The second need for revival is that we are not happy. Again, the second need for revival is that we are not happy. Ask around. Are people happy? Are you happy? According to a Scientific American issue, happiness has remained relatively constant over time in a Western country, even as national income has increased. Wealth is a poor predictor of happiness. People have not become happier over time as their cultures have become more affluent. The state that I am from, India, is an affluent state. When I was growing up there, I used to see a lot of poverty there. But now, every time I visit my state, I see signs of affluence, big bungalows, lot more cars, and all kinds of modern facilities like any rich country. In spite of such an affluence, suicidal rates seem to be very high in this state. So this statement is so true. People have not become happier over time as their cultures have become more affluent. Forbes magazine surveyed some 100 wealthiest people. These wealthy people were only slightly happier than average person. Those whose income has increased over a 10-year period are not happier than whose income is stagnant. Are people in rich countries happier by and large than people in not-so-rich countries? It appears in general that they are, but the margin may be slim. In Portugal, for example, only 1 in 10 people reports being very happy, whereas in much more prosperous Netherlands, the proportion of very happy is 4 in 10. A revival can bring in happiness to our souls. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In Acts chapter 8 and verse 8, when evangelist Philip preached in Samaria, and a revival broke out in that city, we read, "There was great joy in that city." Joel, the Old Testament prophet, talks about a time in Israel, in chapter 1 and verse 12, when their joy withered away, and he called for a time of fasting, prayer, and repentance, so that they will regain their joy. Now, the third reason for revival is our need for love. Again, the third reason is our need for love. We live in a society where people want to be loved. Many feel that they are not loved. People are also finding that relationship issues are pushing them over the edge. Once a gentleman called me in the night and shared with me that he was going to commit suicide. When I inquired the reason, I found that he had a quarrel with his wife that evening, and that pushed him over the edge. Thank God he did not succeed in his attempt. There are many who feel like that about their close family relationships. Tim Lay, in his book, Six Keys to Happy Marriage, states, "One of the most common causes of emotionally disturbed people today is instead of experiencing security-building love between their parents, children all too often see and feel the trauma of hostility, hatred, and animosity between the two people they love most, their mother and father. From this hostility, children develop emotional insecurity and fears that follow them all through life. A revival can bring love in relationships and in families. In C.S. Lewis' words, "If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them." Oh, how we need to stand near the revival fire for love, joy, power, and peace. Where there is no love, people are unforgiving, bitter, resentful, jealous, proud, stubborn, untruthful, dishonest, disunited, rebellious, and are ungodly. Jesus condensed the entire Ten Commandments into two golden commandments, and the golden commandments into one word, and that word is love. Love is a commandment in the Bible. In John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 12, we read, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Jesus said that. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, we read, "Husbands, love your wives." And there are many more such references. Friends, I'm going to stop here, and I hope you'll take a few moments and write to me. I will give you my address in just a couple of minutes.
No one but you, O Lord. There isn't anyone in this world like you.
Friends, thank you for listening to Life Changers. I hope you'll take a few moments to write to us and let us know what you think about the program. You may include your questions and comments, and also mention any new topics that you want me to consider for future programs. Let me give you my address: Life Changers, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore 560025, India. That address again is Life Changers, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore 560025, India. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week at the same time. This is Dr. K.V. Abraham saying goodbye for now. The recording engineer is Tom John.